Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner, 1987, Tim Brown of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Of course, we have to get the Notre Dame side of things as well. Tim Brown joins us here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Tim, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I guess if for the Miami folks, I would have been their fourth receiver on that team that year, not the Heisman Trophy winner. So
that's true.
That's what Jimmy Johnson said about me. So, it probably is some truth to that. With Michael Irving and Brett Perriman and Brian Blades, you know, who knows? That's what Jimmy said.
You know, it's funny.
How's it going, Alex?
Oh, I'm doing so well, Tim. I'm doing so well. And it's funny, you bring up Jimmy Johnson, who, of course, he was such a character, such a part of that rivalry, and Canes mm-hmm. fans always think about Lou Holtz on the other side of that. Did you ever experience anything in your football career, pro or college? Did you ever experience anything like the Miami-Notre Dame rivalry of the 80s?
No, you know, and unfortunately, you know, my 2-3 years, it was heavy. It was heavy Miami. You know, we were just, you know, it was the last couple of years of Jerry Fouts, and the first couple of years of Lou Holtz. So for us, it was all about trying to compete with these guys, and you know, I felt my senior year, we did a good job competing with them. I think we lost 20-6 down there in Miami. You know, we felt like we had come a long ways from where we were a couple of years ago. We lost, obviously, 51-3 or whatever it was down there. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think we knew we could compete with those guys. And the guys the next year in 88 just took it to the next level.
You know, you talked, Tim, there about competing against Miami. It almost makes it sound like Notre Dame players sort of measured themselves by Miami, and I'm sure a lot of that happened on the other side as well. Did you feel like that rivalry made you a better player?
Well, you know, I think when you look at what the University of Miami had done at that time, they had won at least one national championship, I'm sure, and they were either playing for the national championship or right there every year, you know, to play for the national championship. So if you're going to measure yourself by a team, you certainly want to measure yourself by a team that is competing and have the opportunity every year to play for the national championship. So, you know, I think if Notre Dame, if we were doing that, that was a good thing for us. Now, personally, for me, you know, those guys changed the way I played the game. There's no doubt about that. I mean, there were some things that happened in my freshman year when we were playing the University of Miami, when we had a big lead at halftime and they came back and just trounced us in the second half. And I got a chance as a young freshman to go out and get some mop-up time. And, man, I got hit over the middle by Bain and Fullington. Those cats were standing on me talking about my mom and my dad. I was like, how do they know my mom and my daddy name?
Oh, so they actually knew the names? They did research?
Oh, yeah. They were saying Josephine and UG. It was like, how in the world?
Were you much of a trash talker, Tim? Were you much of a trash talker, or did you not take part in that?
Not at all. But that all changed after that game, Alex, because I realized that, you know, I could be a nice guy off the football field, but on the football field, you have to push a little switch, and you know, you have to change a little bit, and just, you know, you couldn't be the guy receiving all that and not giving it back. So yeah, it definitely changed the way I played the game, and I realized that my dad, you know, throughout my NFL career, used to tell my mom, "You may act like you off the field, but on the field, you act like me now," you know, and that was really because of, you know, my time playing at the University of Miami.
You know, this rivalry, there have been documentaries made about it, the Catholics versus Convicts 30 for 30, and even the U documentary, the U Part 1, of course, a prominent part of that was Miami and Notre Dame. Do the documentaries, do they feel accurate? Because in watching those, Tim, and in living through that rivalry as a fan, it seemed like just every moment it felt like a fight could break out at any second.
Yeah, you know, it was high intensity stuff. There's no doubt about it, man. You know, I think, you know, when you look at the Catholics versus Cubs, you know, I got a group of Notre Dame guys, and one of my Notre Dame guys was saying he's from Miami, and he was saying that a lot of his folks don't like the fact that the Miami guys are being called convicts. But what I had to remind him of, back in that day, back in the 80s and early 90s, Miami guys called themselves convicts. Almost. I mean, they would get off the plane with fatigues and six shooters and all that kind of stuff. So all the Miami guys I know, and I know a lot of these guys because, you know, either through Pro Bowls or Hall of Fame or whatever, they don't look at this as being that's who they were back in the day. Not convicts, but at the same time, you know, they played the bad guy role. So that's how they intimidated folks. So, you know, so I got Notre Dame guys, you know, who are picking up or looking out for these Miami guys, man. But yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think guys really want to fight, but at the same time, you didn't want to back down from a fight.
Oh, yeah,
so if a fight came your way, you had to fight, you know?
We are joined here by Pro Football Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner, former Notre Dame Fighting Irish receiver Tim Brown is with us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. And, you know, Tim, I give a lot of respect. I'm impressed with Notre Dame, the turnaround from last year, tough season last year at 4-8. At this time a year ago, Brian Kelly was on the hot seat, and then all of a sudden he made a lot of changes on his staff, and Notre Dame is number 3, and they're in that college football playoff picture. What have you made of that turnaround from one year to the next?
Well, I tell you what, man, even this offseason, you know, I did a couple things with the team and went up and spoke to the team and had a chance to speak to a lot of coaches, and they were really pinpointing the Georgia game. It felt like if they competed well in that game, then they had a chance to have a very successful season. But if they didn't, then it would be tough, you know, to come back and play their schedule the way it was. And I think because, obviously, you know, 2019 really having a chance to go win the game at the end of the day, but it came up short, but knew that they had a chance to win the game. And I really think that changed the season for the Irish. You know, I think they feel as if now that they can compete against anybody. And if you can compete against one of the best teams in the SEC, certainly you should be able to compete against anybody else in college football. So I think from that standpoint, everybody's riding high, and the USC game obviously gave these guys a little bit more confidence. So I think they come into this game thinking, okay, if we do what we're supposed to do and protect the football, don't give up multiple big plays. You don't give up some big plays in Miami. That's just the name of the game. But you can't give up 3, 4, 5 big plays. If they can do that, I think they have a chance to come away with the victory.
Tim, I read something about you in a bio that I found to be fascinating, but I want to make sure this is true. Is it true that in your freshman year of high school, you didn't play football, but you were in the band?
Well, I did play freshman football, but I was in the varsity.
Oh, okay.
Band for the varsity. Yeah,
so. See, that makes a little more sense, but because what I read was that your parents didn't allow you to play football that year. But it's hard to believe that, you know, you're a Pro Football Hall of Famer now and that you couldn't even play back then.
Yeah. I started playing in the seventh grade. My mom just never knew I was playing. My dad was doing all the stuff, even though, you know, they were married and sleeping together. You know, he would all, hey, just between me and you. This is between me and you.
See, that's an even better story. I think that's better than you not being allowed to play football. You were playing football, and your mom didn't know about it?
Right. And she didn't find out till my sophomore year when, as a sophomore, I was playing varsity and had a couple of good games. And, you know, if you're in Dallas, Texas, and you're playing good football, you end up on the front page of the sports page. And even at the sophomore, that happened, and a lot of her friends called her, yeah, your son's in the paper. She thought I got into trouble, but she was looking in like the life section and the front page. I said, Mom, you probably need to look at the sports page. And there I was, a big article about Tim Brown's sophomore sensation or something like that. So
when she realized you were good, was she okay with it?
She wasn't happy.
Oh, she was. So even knowing you're a good player, she wasn't happy about it.
Oh, no, she wasn't happy at all. No. I mean, when I got when Notre Dame came up to recruit me, they said one of the things that they, you know, at Notre Dame, if you got to practice 1 week, but after that 1 week, if you decide that you don't want your scholarship anymore, they look at it as an academic scholarship, not an athletic scholarship. And I had a guy who came from Dallas that year who did this, who played 1 week, and then he quit the team, but he kept his scholarship. So my mom was like, oh, great, Timmy. All you got to do is play 1 week, and then you can go get in the band or something. So, and look, she did this throughout my whole career. Every year she would ask me, are you done yet? Are you done yet? Can you quit now? So, you know, that went on for 17 years in the NFL, too. So
that is so great. Well, what a story. Tim Brown, of course, a legend of Notre Dame football, legend in the National Football League as well, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Tim, I can't thank you enough for taking the time. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Hey, will do, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.